us with your light.
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself.
Motherland Media is on the air. You are listening to African Perspectives on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. African Perspectives, where we talk about the issues of our day from an African worldview, an African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak. Having been granted permission, to our ancestors whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters and friends, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. So I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is always an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who is living, and everyone who will live in the future. We have a common ancestral root. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were other cultures as well, such as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, great civilizations that were flourishing while Europe was still in the medieval or dark age. So we pour this libation to those contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, uprooted out of Africa, laying a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. They are now in North America, Central America, South America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to brothers and sisters who suffered the Holocaust of enslavement, of captivity. We do not know their names, but because of them, we are here. So we honor them and their sacrifice. We say Ashe. We pour libation to those men and women who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you'll know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a slave want to do? It wants to get free. There's over 400 recorded revolts of our people fighting on the continent, throughout the Middle Passage, and this hemisphere. We resisted. We were not slaves. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master, and we haven't and we will never submit. So we give honor and reverence to those men and women who fought. Denmark Vesey, Gabriel Prosser, Harriet Tubman, Nat Turner, and many, many others. We honor them We respect them for always standing and fighting for the liberation of our people. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good community life because we don't have good family life. Conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is bad because we lack consciousness. Consciousness is more than just awareness. It's a deeper understanding of who you are culturally, historically, and the necessity to come together to produce family, which is produces good community life. So we pour this libation to the spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. We say Ashe. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you had a chance to do all the things today and yesterday and even tomorrow that you should do, must do, can do, better do. I just hope you do it. And I even hope that the weather is accommodating for you to do it. But I know that if it isn't, you're going to do it anyway, because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. You don't procrastinate. You don't put off. You do it. And that's what we need more of. Doers. Yes, we do on a real. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to us live, you can go to the archives. You can go to timeforanawakening.com and scroll down on the right till you see the red, black, and green lion with Africa imposed on it. Click that and then go to the blogs and you can listen or you can view, check out previous recorded programs that are titled and dated, and you can select the one that you would like to listen to. I hope one of them would be the program I just did this past Monday with a tribute to Dr. Bobby Wright. I love Dr. Bobby Wright. We're going to talk about that. Of course, today is Wednesday, and you know Wednesday is the day I have my co-host with me. So after I get through these announcements, the program lineup, me and my good friend, Brother Frank Jones, are going to chop it up. Of course, you can listen to this program by doing what Brother Frank has done, is dialing in 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. If you want to do that just to listen, that's cool. Whatever how it happens, if you listen online, timeforanawakening.com, blacktalkradionetwork.com, go on, tune in, and hit Time for an Awakening. That's good too. On your phone or other mobile devices, so many ways that you can listen to this program. Acres of Diamonds on Monday from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern. All times are going to give our Eastern times. Right after Acres of Diamonds, Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9 p.m. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Thursdays, Us Lifting Us, ULU, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. And of course, we have our grand opening at the ULU Cafe this Saturday, The grand opening at the Ulu Cafe is this Saturday, and from 12 noon to 5 p.m. Of course, the location is 2036 Sylvan Road in the Sylvan Plaza, right off of Highway 166, Georgia Highway 166, and 7585, Interstate 7585 in that area. But you can't miss it. In fact, all roads lead to the cafe at that time. And, of course, we have African coffee. In fact, we're going to be known for coffee. That is our thing, coffee. Ethiopian, Cameroonian, Kenyan, Brazilian, Tanzanian, Panamanian. We're going to have coffee. We'll have free samples. There'll be live music, open mic. You know, good chance to meet some of the members, like myself, who are member owners. And, of course, some of our people who work there and other opportunities for you to be a part of our co-op, you know, pulling it together. If you should want to check it out, go to CafeUlu, CafeUlu.com, CafeUlu.com. Also check out our website, usliftingus.com, and check out the summit, what was going on there. Also, too, go to InTheseTimes.com, an article, great article on our cafe, or actually on Ulu, on Us Lifting Us. But InTheseTimes.com, drink your coffee black owned is the title of the article in InTheseTimes.com. Drink your coffee black owned. On Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern time, it is time for an awakening. Yes, it is. In fact, any time that we rise up, it's time for us to be really woke. A true awakening with our minds right. Time for an awakening with host Brother Elliot and Brother Richard from 8 p.m. until on Friday. Saturday, Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore. Saturday, Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. No, it is not me. It's Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, with her program, Revive. 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday, Revive. And Sunday night, 7 p.m. until it is once again time for an awakening with Brother Richard and Brother Elliot. And once again, our call-in number is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. This Saturday right here in Atlanta, it is the 21st Century Black Survival Conference at the Shrine of the Black Madonna, presented by Straight Black Pride. They're looking at three areas to focus, spirituality, culture, and survival. The spirituality component, the master teacher, Ashua Kwesi, will be talking about African history and spirituality with the origins of the Bible and Quran. Culture, Baba Mwalimu Baruti. Baba Baruti is a good friend, and he will talk about, his presentation will be a warrior's character. Survival, the Irritated Genie, African Survival in the 21st Century. Doors open up at 12, and great panel discussions and presentations and so forth. You won't want to miss the Survival Conference at the, and I will have Brother Kifuru, who is with Straight Black Pride and Straight Black News. He will be my guest on Friday. We will talk about the conference. Also, too, hope to have on a brother named Jerry Johnson. Jerry Johnson lives in Ghana. He's repatriated. He's here in Atlanta for a minute. Have him on and talk about what he's doing in Ghana. With me, my guest in the second hour of the program on Friday. Don't want to miss that. Also, too, I'll continue to promote Brother Bomani Tahimbe with his program, Africa for the Africans. He's got about 50 people he's taking to Ghana next month. About 50 people he's taking to Ghana next month. He will be my guest prior to his departure to talk about what they will experience and what you can experience in the future by cooking up with Brother Bomani on his tours for Ghana repatriation. Excuse me, Ghana repatriation and investment. So, also too, We Buy Black. We Buy Black. Black-owned businesses. Everything. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses. WeBuyBlack.com. Check out WeBuyBlack.com. They have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall here in Atlanta, and I hope they would have something in your neighborhood. We Buy Black should be everywhere. I love African consciousness. I do. I love African consciousness because I love African people. And I know there's another brother who loves African people, and that, of course, is Brother Franklin Jones. Brother Frank, how are you today, brother?
Brother Lachey, how you doing, my brother? Fine.
Good. I'm doing great as well, man. It's always a pleasure, always a good time that me and you have the opportunity to chop it up, as we like to say, you know.
I love your spirit, man. I love your energy. I love your spirit.
Well, I try, man. You know, I try. I'm just trying to do my best that I can to educate our people, to help us understand what we are up against. You know, that was my whole attitude when I was a firefighter in Milwaukee. And, you know, we work one day, and we're off two, work one day, off two. And those 2 days off, and since I'm not mechanically inclined, you know, I would go to schools. I had opportunity to get into some of the schools and work with our young people. And I would express to them that I'm going to inform you about stuff that you would not get in these schools. You're not going to get this information. I did a historical ancient comedic piece on them and all kinds of good stuff, you know, helping them understand the importance of manhood and womanhood and how we need each other to be the kind of people that we need. Oh, I mean, you know, I really tried my best to, you know, to do that. And what was ironic is that when I was no longer with the fire department and I had more time, nobody brought me in. You know, they said, yo, yeah, Brother Oshie, yeah, Brother Oshie, come on, man, yeah, give me a card, we'll call you in. Nah, zero. Mm-hmm. Zero. Those last few years before I moved down here, I you know, every now and then I would go into school, particularly around February for our history, you know, but as an ongoing once a week program. In fact, at one time, brother, and I only would do about a class time, you know, which is about 45 minutes. Some had longer class times, but that's a basic, about 45 minutes. And so, you know, and knowing that how they time things in school, you got to be on time. So I would, you know, always try my best to be on time. I'm a kind of on-time person. I'm not anal, but I am an on-time person. I think that's another thing. Now, I've always been that way, even before I came on the fire department. But being on the fire department, you definitely got to be an on-time person, because when that bell rings, you know, you got to drop everything that you're doing, no matter what you're doing, in the bathroom, sleep, whatever it is, and put your stuff on and get ready to service the public for whatever that might be, an EMS run, a fire, whatever it is. So I believe in us being on time. I understand that in actuality, even though they always talk about OCP time and this, that, and other, we are an on-time people. When you look at, go ahead.
I have a question for you, from the person been taking you group in Milwaukee. You know, me being a person who grew up in the South, let me ask you a question. As a black man, an Afrocentric black man who grew up in the North, do you see a significant difference going around white folks in the North than we experience in the South? Is it really that different?
No. My contention is now is that if you're south of the North Pole, you're south. That mentality is pervasive everywhere. You know, I just read an article because there's a perception that Canadians are, you know, let me just say this. I think Caucasians as a whole are the way they are. And the mentality they have is the way it is as a whole in general. Can you find some Caucasians who understand the privilege they have and hate the fact that it has discriminated against people and enslaved people? Yes. They're few and far between, but what's more important, they don't change any dynamic. And many of those would not change the privilege that they have. They may acknowledge it, same as Tim Wise and Jane Elliott, and there's some others, you know, who articulate the situation. You know, and I understand, and to me, I'm happy that they're trying to educate, you know, just like Dr. D'Angelo, you know, who we talked about a few weeks ago in coming up with her phrase, European, well, white fragility. Mm-hmm. You know, that the Caucasians are fragile because they don't want to accept the fact of what they've done. They want to believe that they are good, moral people, that really right. they are the standard bearers in the world. They want to believe all of this madness.
They always not create narratives that favor themselves and live by the narrative as it's real, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. Yeah.
And the fact that those narratives make them feel good, of course.
Yes.
But they don't want to see the destruction that they have created on the planet. They don't want to see the genocide that, I mean, there's, you know, people talk about genocide, but Europeans have done it.
Mm-hmm.
They
have
done it. They have gone other places and they have wiped people out. Yeah. Literally.
They've been a cancer to the planet. I mean, you know, a lot of people, even the Caribbean, throughout the Caribbean, there used to be these Indians. They were called the Arawak Indians, and different Indians.
Right.
There was another second tribe. But when you go to the Caribbean, now, many of the islands see black faces because those original inhabited Indians
are gone.
By the European disease.
Exactly. They're all gone.
Yeah, that's not in the history books.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, and they got Africans because Africans had a strong immune system who could endure being around the Caucasians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when they write the history books about in America, for example, they create the image of the cowboys, Indians, the cowboys whooping the Indians' ass.
Mm-hmm.
In reality, millions of Indians died because of diseases the Europeans brought.
Right.
But when they write the history book, they change the history book.
Of course.
They write themselves as heroes.
Mm-hmm.
But it said because the people function based upon the stories they believe about themselves, so they write themselves as heroes.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's just like, you know, I have a deep disdain and disgust for the British. I'll be glad when this damn wedding thing is over. But even at that, though, Brother Frank, they continue to put stuff on the national news about Britain because this country and British, they're synonymous. So they continue to do that, you know. But I hate the British and I hate Winston Churchill. But Winston Churchill said this. He says, history is going to be kind to Great Britain. Why? Because I'm going to write it.
Yeah.
There is no group of people on this planet who have been more vicious than the British.
Yes.
More murderous. More colonizing. More imperialistic. When I see that damn picture of that heifer queen sitting in a big vault with all this gold bullion around her.
Yeah.
The damn coach she has made of gold. There's no gold mines in there. In fact, there's nothing in so-called Great Britain, you know, or the UK, United Kingdom, or England. Nothing. Oh, we got a caller. Caller 646. Go ahead.
Yo, Hotep, Brother Jay, and to your guests. Listen, man, I got to drop this on y'all too, man. Yesterday, I was listening to a show on Sirius Radio, Karen Hunter's show, Real Crazy Negro, Negress, as one would say. And the day before, she had a brother on there that's like a contributor to MSNBC, and he's like the head writer for TheRoot.com.
Mm.
Do you know this brother had the nerve on her show to say that the great African warrior, Shaka Zulu, was a homosexual?
Oh, God, stop this! Bruh.
Yo, it blew my mind. And the reason why he said he was a homosexual was because he didn't have no kid.
Oh, stop this.
Do you believe that?
That's a stupid jump. That's a stupid leap, you know.
Wow. And that the reason why he didn't have no kids was because he didn't want his offspring to challenge him for the throne, I guess. Yo, my man. I mean, I'll go as far as to go back and I'll play it for you.
Man. No, brother, I don't even want, you know, Jay, I, you know, getting it from you is always like gold as far as I'm concerned, brother, you know, over this last almost.
It blew me away, man. I had to do something this morning, but I had to put it on hold because I wanted to give y'all brothers that information, and I'll pass it on also.
Yeah.
But he had the nerve to say that Shaka Zulu was a homosexual.
Because he didn't have children. You know, I tell you, being here in Atlanta, which is the American African gay capital.
Gay mafia capital of the world.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That's a sad
they
fact.
They got more monkey men in Atlanta than you could imagine.
Yeah. It's
just the capital.
Right. It's men and women. You know, in fact, I was in a strip club many years ago. The Gentleman's Ballet, you know, but I'm in there and there are more women getting lap dances than men. And I ain't talking about dykes, butch, whatever term you want to use, more hardcore looking, male looking women. I'm talking about regular looking sisters,
That's the new thing.
You know,
That's the new party thing. It's like, you know, What gets it going is these degenerates who make that, you know, something, or make it seem as though it's a normal part of the culture of just hanging out with your boyfriend and all of that stuff. You know, they promote it through that reality TV and all of that nonsense. So whereby once you see it on reality TV, then it becomes the hip thing for these crazy Negroes to, you know, what you call them, to try.
Yeah. Well, let me say this.
But I mean, you know, just the reality that you have somebody that would say something like that is crazy, man.
Let me say this, because I want to be clear about this. I am not homophobic or none of that. In fact, I know homosexuals. I am not, adamantly not. But by the same token, what consenting adults do in the privacy of their own home. I put emphasis on consenting and adults and privacy because I don't want to see that. That's their business. That is their business. My issue is they're trying to jam this down our throat. It's just like with the Black Panther movie. Well, why didn't they? I know there's a series they had a homosexual thing. Why didn't they put that in the movie? Damn, stop it. Stop it. The reality is this, is that in a natural sense, there has to be procreation if human beings are going to continue to exist.
And that's what the thing is. It's an abnormal behavior. Let's just be honest about it. I don't have nothing against homosexuals, but I want to make it clear I see it as an abnormal behavior. It's not a natural behavior if, you know, people try to put forward that we were on this planet to reproduce. Now, that's not saying that because a person doesn't reproduce or anything like that, that makes them into a homosexual or anything of that nature, or there's anything wrong with it. Some people just don't have the fortunate ability to have kids, nor wish to have kids, or anything of that nature. But when you go into the homosexuality, the behavior is an abnormal behavior. So, you know, this is why you have this type of degeneracy becoming prevalent in an abnormal society. America is an abnormal society.
And it was that way from the beginning.
Most vicious, diabolical society.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? There's nothing natural about America.
No.
It's nothing harmonious. It's nothing loving. It's nothing giving or anything of that nature. It's based on and conception of its total destruction.
It wasn't
created on nothing good.
No.
It was created on total destruction, murder, genocide, and all of the things
right.
that one would have to see it as a and natural behavior type society. I mean, look at it. The clown in the office today is talking about going bombing people.
Yeah.
Hundreds of miles away. You know what I mean? That's not natural behavior.
And the fact that there is no such thing as a limited nuclear war. And the fact that you have these other issues, you know, that could possibly lead to that fact is the devastation of this planet. But let me just say this. In our movement, in the African-centered movement, in the Pan-African movement, there is no plank of homosexuality. Okay?
That I know of.
No, and there is not as far as I'm concerned, as far as I know of either. There is no thing. You know, if you're homosexual, that's your damn business, and you keep it to yourself. So when you come out here to deal with what has been happening to us, there ain't no thing about, I want this to... No, there's no discussion about that. The only discussion is about the freedom, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. There is no other discussion. Now, you can bring that to Black Lives Matter and all those other organizations. That's fine. That's them. But in terms of liberation for African people, that is the issue. That is the subject point blank. Because
it has to be shut down when they try to incorporate it into the discussion of African sovereignty.
No.
You know?
Yeah. No. That's.
I mean, I've seen how you... I saw one of the best videos of dealing with that was by Irritated Genie. He had this... Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was a man or a woman or whatever, but I know it was in one of his meetings.
Right.
And Cat tried to oppose that nonsense, and Brother Genie just shot him down beautifully.
Yeah.
I mean, it's on YouTube and everything, and he showed the way that you have to be able to catch it, acknowledge it, and then cut it off.
Yeah.
And that's the way that it has to be. But, you know, we're in a position now today to where as everything around us is incorporating homosexuality, degeneracy, integration, and all of that. So, you know, unfortunately, a lot of times our so-called leaders go along with it because, you know, they want to be part
yeah.
of the system.
But see,
I know we in the conscious movement
right.
should not never allow that to take place nor be a part of it. But, you know, we in the conscious movement is totally different, you know, thing than the so-called Negro P, Negro Looker movement, you know, the everyday modern crazy black folks movement. You know what I mean? There's just so much that we are facing as Africans or trying to be Africans in this society.
That's why, Jay, we gotta, just as the movie said, get out.
Yeah, we gotta separate.
We gotta get out.
Because it's getting crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, it's just like I'm trying to really go back to this. How do you go on a radio program with a bunch of, they're basically Negro peeps, I'm just going to be honest about it, who believe in this madness of the vote and all this and that, and you put forward that type of idea, which you really have no proof of, no nothing, just based on an assumption that this person is that and participated in that because he didn't have an offspring.
Right.
So you're now going to put
crazy.
Out in the atmosphere in the world
Jay.
That a warrior, Shaka Zulu,
right.
was a homosexual.
That's crazy. But that's also
that's dangerous, though.
It is.
You know
it
what
is.
I mean? Because I could say that about somebody.
Right.
On the same tilt.
Right.
You know what I mean? I could go and say, well, I think blah, blah, blah is a monkey man because blah, 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 the way that he do this, the way that he do this. Now, he may have kids. It's just like, I'll give an example. And you know, I'll put on allegedly. I think personally, allegedly, that Tyler Perry is a homosexual.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at his mannerism, his behavior, all of those things based upon how he expresses himself, says certain things, deals with the fact that one of the most blatant things that turn men into homosexuals is abuse. And the manner in which he talks about abuse, one would think and one would consider he's a homosexual, dressing up as a 6'7" fairy. You know what I mean? So, you know, you could say something like that. But now I have to, at the end of it, say allegedly, because the counterbalance to that is, well, you know, Mr. Perry has a kid. Okay? So there's a lot of homosexuals out here who has kids. You know, they just, you know, like a little every now and then. Or whatever. They got lucky and they impregnated somebody in the moment of pleasure of some nookie. Okay? So whatever. But the point of the matter is, if one wants to look at his characteristics and his behavior in the way, in a sense, he asks himself, I would say, or I would assume, allegedly, he's a homosexual. And I'll tell him that this face.
Yeah.
But, you know, the point of the matter is, here it is, I've never, ever, 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 ever heard anybody make any sort of inkling that he's a homosexual. Now, I gotta do this. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to do it, but I'm gonna ask one of these homosexuals on my Facebook that I know will answer the question that supposedly an African, or he supposedly, as I always laugh at him and tell him, you just a queer, broken wrist, so-called Pan-African, but being a homosexual degenerate that you are, you know Pan-African, bro. So cut it out. You know, you can claim yourself as an African because you're a descendant of African people, but you're no Pan-African nationalist with a broken wrist. You know what I mean?
Let me say this. Jay, let me just say this, and I'm just, I think whatever your sexual orientation is, or whatever your sexual preferences are, that's that. You can still be a Pan-Africanist if you're true.
Yes,
I do know. I don't know because I'm one. I'm just saying is that if you are true to the spirit of Pan-Africanism, which is, of course, African people controlling our own destiny and so forth. Now, if you're homosexual and you're not flaunting it, you're not throwing it in people's faces, you're not trying to make that one of the issues that we should be trying to address in the Pan-African community and so forth and so on, that's your business. The point I was making, Jay, is this. Once again, I'm going to say this. What consenting adults do in the privacy of their own home is their business. I put emphasis once again on consenting, definitely emphasis on adults, and emphasis on the privacy of your own home. That's y'all business, what y'all do behind closed doors. But when you come out into the public, particularly espousing Pan-Africanism, then that's the focus, and that is it. There is nothing else. That is it.
Yeah, but when you're trying to change a certain narrative within Pan-African movement, talking about, let's use an example of same gender-loving individuals into your narrative of Pan-Africanism, I have a little issue with that.
So, brother, I'm not advocating.
That's what I mean.
Jay, I agree with you on that. Once again.
You know, like you say, if you're a homosexual behind closed doors, cool.
That's your business.
The thing is, nah, you can't push that agenda as far as being part of my agenda moving forward as an African people, because that brings too much confusion.
No, see, once again, Jay, there is no confusion. The bottom line is we are supporting African familyhood. We're supporting African men coming together.
How does that allow there to be African family when you're a homosexual in a sense, because
you're not
promoting that type of family.
Jay,
that's supposed to be the norm.
Jay, what I'm saying is we're not supporting and promoting homos. If you are a person who feels that your sexual orientation is gravitating to men if you're a man, or gravitating to women if you're a woman, but yet you have the understanding, the ideas of Pan-Africanism, then you could still be a part of the movement and part of the program, you see, because that's what's most important. You have to understand that you suppress whatever those urges in the public sphere. What you do behind closed doors with another adult, that's y'all business. But when you come out into the arena, into our community, that is the discussion, and that is the discussion alone. And contained, of course, in Pan-Africanism is strong African family, men and that's women together with children. Because if you don't have that, if you don't have that, you don't have nothing. But I understand. Right. So, but I'm not promoting. Okay. Hold on, Jay. I'm not promoting or saying that that has to be part of that whole. No, you keep that. Excuse me. You keep that stuff. You keep that sugar, honey, iced tea to yourself.
That's exactly what I'm saying. But you have a situation at times where you have these individuals who try to incorporate and expose that into the open narrative of being a Pan-African or Nazareth. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I mean, I agree with what you're saying, but I'm just saying there has to be some sort of standard on how one presents themselves in construction of everything that's involved with what you're communicating to a people to move forward and change the ideology of how they think and how they see the world. That's why you see forward these homosexual agendas, these integrational agendas, these so-called delusions of diversity and all of those things. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed lately, but there's been less and less talk about diversity for some reason. I haven't been hearing that push as much as, you know, I've heard it over the last couple of years. You know what I mean? I don't know what must have happened.
Well, no, Jay, you hear that. You hear that pretty much in advertising and so, and you see it. You see that in advertising. I have never seen so many I don't know which mixed race, if you want to use that term, mulatto, if you want to use that term, high yellow, whatever it is, I've never seen so much as in the last year or so in advertisement consistently.
So you see that as the diversity that they're... That
it's
they're,
an illusion. They don't want no damn diversity, Jay. You know that. I mean, Jay, let's check this out. On the fire department, they made a commitment to diversity after affirmative action was implemented. Once the fire department, which is the most racist occupation that there is, and the reason why the fire department is the most racist occupation is because you live in the firehouse. And crackers did not want your butt in the fire department, sleeping next to them, eating the food and so forth initially. So fire departments were pretty much lily Caucasian for many years. And then fire departments started being challenged because fire departments are public works jobs. The people's taxes pay for that service. And so then there became a mantra of fire departments should reflect the cities they serve. And so affirmative action came in the early 70s, mid to early 70s. I came on the fire department in 76, you know, and the whole idea was that, you know, many Caucasians were, they were just adamant that and mad as hell that we as American Africans, Latinos, Native Americans, and then later women started coming on the fire department, making it diverse. They even had some diverse, some fire departments had diversity statements. I've maintained, because if you look at fire departments today, because affirmative action ended just like Reconstruction, within 10 years, those things were struck down. And they reverted back to hiring like they did prior to affirmative action. And so now today, in many major cities where a population might be 40, 50, 60% us when you include other so-called minorities, but yet the fire department is about 80 to 85, 90% Caucasian male. Once again, that's just like
New York.
Exactly. Oh man, don't get me started with New York, Jay.
Oh man, don't.
New York. Hold on, Jay. Listen to this.
Don't get me started.
Listen, one thing that the how you doing, Brother Frank? You holding on with us?
I'm here. I'm fine. Listen, it's all good.
Okay. One thing that the inside job 9/11 brought out. A documentary was made called All Our Sons about the 12 brothers who died in that tragedy. Narrated by Alfre Woodard. And one thing it brought out was the blatant discrimination in the New York Fire Department, one of the largest fire departments in this country, over 11,000. 11,000. They only had 350. Only 350 of us. And they bragged about it. And because of that, some things have been implemented, but it would take a serious amount of time and of course some preferential hiring, if you want to use that term.
And that's not gonna happen.
No, it is not.
In New York.
No.
But I mean, I see it. I've witnessed it. I mean, you know, the Falcon Society and all that. I mean, their battle has been legendary, man. I mean, let me just say this, man. It is absolutely insane the manner in which the fire department in New York City is.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know what's so crazy is when you see that fire with their white counterparts, you just see sick Negroes, man. You just see individuals who have, in a sense, man, you know, just been broken, like, man. They are some of the most, I don't know how you can explain it, man. The way that they act and behave is like, it's insanity, bro.
Jay, you know, there are some of our brothers, you know, who got on these jobs, and many of them did not like the fact that they came on during affirmative action. They didn't like that. They wanted to feel that they could compete with the Caucasian. They didn't like some preferential treatment. I didn't give a damn. In fact, I want a preferential treatment all the way up when you consider the discrimination and the humiliation that we have having endured on the fire service.
You understand the context of the whole situation.
Sure.
You understand that you should benefit, that you deserve the preferential treatment, and that you want it because of what they've done. But like you said, man, a lot of black people have a hard time realizing and accepting the fact that they've been shut out from this Yerugal. And when they get the opportunity, they just work overboard to appease this Yerugal. I don't know what it is. It's just like.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, Jay.
I want to interject.
Go ahead, Brother Frank.
Go ahead, Frank. Hey, I also remember back in the 80s and 90s when they were trying to push forward to get more black firefighters on the force, the white media and the white fire departments are putting out propaganda that the black fire, the candidates were not as smart, and they want them to bring the test down, dumb the test down, so they'll have more black firefighters. And they start putting this propaganda. I was down in South Florida hearing that propaganda, but they were putting all this propaganda out to try to justify why is they had mostly white firefighters, and they were saying that black people can't pass the test. And I was remembering that as you talk about this, I'm remembering back in the 90s and 80s hearing this propaganda all over the news and this fighting about it. And that's the, you know, white man, they always create that narrative, you know, to hold on. They try to justify their racism by creating a falsehood.
Right.
When the core problem is they just want to keep it white.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Yeah.
In fact, Frank, that was happening when I first came on. In fact, the chief of the department was on national news, NBC, never forget it. And he pretty much stated what you're saying, you know, and of course, which was a fallacy. And he was immediately jumped on because the reality is they lowered standards for people to get on the fire department during wartime. because the people they wanted to have out at the war, they brought people who did into the fire department to protect the communities who didn't have high school diplomas or didn't have any education at all. They had on-the-job training. No, they did not lower standards. They heightened standards because, number one, they did not want us to graduate through that academy. They did not. They did not want women to graduate through that academy. No, they didn't lower standards. They heightened them. In fact, what has happened? You've got very good men and particularly brothers on those departments who became officers and chief officers, and many of them became chiefs of department. In fact, yesterday I attended the service of one of the brothers who had done great work. Brother A.D. Bell, and may God be pleased with his soul, Brother A.D. Bell did great work here in Atlanta and across the nation, you know, helping young men and women, us, get into the fire service and get elevated on the fire service to rank positions. No, it is a monumental struggle because, once again, the fire service is the most racist occupation that there is still to this day. In fact, when we had our convention in Los Angeles in 2004, we had a person from the Justice Department was one of our presenters, and he stated at that time, there are more lawsuits against fire departments than any other occupation, more discrimination against women, against so-called minorities, and so forth in the fire service. And there's been some lawsuits talking about reverse discrimination up in Connecticut.
Yeah, I heard that one,
Yeah.
Hey, Oshie, let me ask you this. How was you able to survive under those conditions? Was there the fact that you just worked one day and you was off for two, so that kept you from having to choke a couple of them out, so they just knew that you wasn't to be played with? I mean, they had to, you know, because they could tell who to mess with
right,
and who not to mess with.
That's true.
But I could just imagine, man, how could you just, number one, being around them and listening to them, that would just drive me nuts.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's...
Well, in my 30-year...
I don't know how you was able to do it.
In my 30-year career, I was fortunate to be an officer for the last, the 30 years, about at least 17 years, 18 years of my career. And I would go in my office and close my door because they'd be out there watching Fox News. I'll just say, I mean, I really haven't... had a lot of problems because they understood who I am, and I expressed myself from day one. In fact, a prank was pulled on me, and I didn't even have my probationary period. I told them, don't do this because I'm a man and I don't play these games. I said this when an oncoming shift was coming on, so to make sure that they understood too. I ain't to be played with. I ain't the one. You know, I ain't here to start no stuff, but damn it, I ain't gonna be none either. You know, so. And in fact, one of these guys said, who do you think you are, Martin Luther King? Because I've always been an advocate for us getting on the job. Once again, it's a public works job. The taxes of the citizens pay for that service. This ain't no private damn country club. It's public works. And those departments should reflect the cities they serve. Yeah. You know?
I just told them, I'm Jim Kelly, and I'm prepared to. And I'm prepared
Jim
to
Kelly,
you're gonna ass whipping on
him. You gonna put an ass whipping on him?
That's why I am, Duke. You wanna try me?
Yeah.
I mean, I just, you know, because I'm telling you, man, I see them and I see the way that they respond. It just does something to me, man. It irks me. You can look at those that, you know, got it, and then you can look at those who don't get it, but like you said, it is the most racist job.
Brother Shay, that mentality that you saw in the fire department, where all the white men get together, that good old boy network, that racism, that even exists in the military also. Now, military have these rules where you have to, it's more hidden, but you still run into it. When I used to work around them, they would try to say things, and because the type of person I am, like yourself, I never held my tongue. So they would look at me as Jones ain't cool. Jones ain't one of the cool brothers. He's a troublemaker. Mm-hmm. But you run that same mentality. They want to make jokes. They want to put their views on you. Their racism is always there. And in the military, we got these groups called the Rangers, the Special Forces, those special groups.
Uh-huh.
When you go to those units and watch them, they're like 90% white. and they continue pushing blacks out. It's rarely you see the blacks in there, you know? So it's the same, you see that same institution, that racism in the police department. My brother was a police officer, Clinton County. Same thing. When they get together, that racism is inherited within them, you know?
But you know, the military is probably one of the most dangerous institutions in regards to racism also in this country, because I truly believe that the majority of your white supremacists in this country now are going into the military.
And always the police department. Always have, and police department.
To come at us.
Yeah. I mean, just think of the number of people, the Caucasian who was on the football team, in 9/11. He's mad. Now he's got to go kill
Tillman.
Pat Tillman. He ain't no damn hero. Hell, he got killed by friendly fire. His whole bottom line was, you attack my country and I'm going to go over here and kill you. Didn't understand it was a false flag any damn way. Yeah, the damn thing wasn't even real. But
and
now,
that's the sickness. Yeah. But you got a lot of people who suffer from that what is it called? American ideology or
American exceptionalism.
You know, we the greatest.
Right, American American exceptionalism.
Blah blah blah.
And manifest destiny.
I mean, think about what he gave up to go and get killed by his own country, and then to have the country, you know, hide all of the things that was involved. You know, I could just imagine.
And then now make him a hero.
He must feel.
He no damn hero.
At one time, I saw that his wife and his mother and father, they wasn't too happy about what went down. But you know what the crazy thing was also? He had another brother who was still in the same situation and I guess stuck it out that they don't really talk about, because it was him and his brother who went into the service. But, you know, that's called patriotism and I guess a hero. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I call it a blatant damn fool. I'm not sympathetic to his plight.
I
just be straight up with it.
I'm definitely non-sympathetic. But listen, Jay, I'm going to take me a break.
Because he's going over there.
To kill people.
You know, basically kill people.
Yeah.
On behalf of what you call, I don't know if I told you, I think I may have told you Monday about the cat when I called up the Carl Nelson show in regards to Winnie Mandela, and I said that I basically didn't have no problems whatsoever in what happened to Stumpy. You know what I mean? If she had to kill him, she had to kill him.
Yeah.
Because he was basically a traitor. Yes. Blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
So Monday, I spoke with Professor James Ball, and Professor James Falls backed it up. But the crazy thing was, the person who took umbrage to what I said about the child was an individual who went over to Vietnam and blatantly killed the Vietnamese who never did a damn thing to
him
or our people here in America. That's the sickness of the Negro.
Yeah.
You go over here indiscriminately killing people younger than 15, and then you killing elders, destroying the land, you're doing all sorts of things, but it's all right to do that. But then it's not all right to, as Africans, reclaim what is ours that was taken from the Yoruba and the oppressor.
But see, Jay, it's wrong.
That's the psychosis we suffer from.
And that's what me and Brother Frank are going to talk about after we take this break.
But listen, thank you again. But I just wanted to drop that whole thing.
Well, thank you for
Dr. Jason Johnson.
Yeah, well, thank you for dropping that bomb on us, Jay.
All right, hotel,
dear brother.
All right,
we're going to take a break. And when we come back from the break, me and Brother Frank Jones, we're going to engage in more conversation. I have an article from the Arrow I want to read, if we can get that in and have some discussion on that. And basically everything that that we try to do on this program has to deal with our ability to look at the situation for what it is, pose some new ideas and paradigms against it, and to change our mind, to develop a narrative that is our own. That's what this whole thing is about. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradio.com. We'll be right back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is Gun Shot Blast, and I'm back in the building. Ah. Hey. Hey.
Now, don't you like that? If you like that. Hey. Ready to fight back. Ready to fight back. The juice we believe in. If the crook was a cook, we never look, we just eat it. Got us like paraplegic, frozen stiff and depleted. Body bad by the wayside, history we repeat it. Hill they don't like the kind of deeds. We all public enemies. The program satanic, tapping into our energies. They will super soaker, call themselves black and noble. Their position is global, so our transition is vocal. It all start with the churches. Killer bees be the workers. Missionaries, they carry the wickedness to usurpers. They all hate us and bait us. Their name is educators. Religions and intimidated, so we worship and invaders. They agree to embed it. Bloodline is pathetic. Loyalty to the royalty, second cousins are wedded. Guillotines to behead them. Yes, the queen has said it. Elohim's the legend. The way your sisters are brethren. How do you like that? Yeah, we like that. Ready to fight back. Ready to fight back. But they don't like that. No, they don't like that. The power be in my people and power strike back. Awaken, can't you feel the earth shaking? We arousing 1,144 acres. No, we ain't paper chasers, more like movers and shakers. Bringing the sentence with vengeance to Mother Earth on a cake. From niggas to niggas, from rednecks to wiggers. When they try to come get us, they using your public figures. Concentrated to campus, microchip is the samplers. Unity is the key, connecting all the bandanas. Your televisions and cameras, so don't switch to the box. Microphones in your home, whether you like it or not. No, we ain't overcoming, we just slumming and bumming. Ain't recognizing your third eye is your second coming. I know you like that. Yeah, we like that. Ready to fight back. Ready to fight back. But they don't like that. No, they don't like that. The power be in my people and power strike back. Yeah. So look for Houdini. I study Kundalini. Raising up through my vertebrae till I see the genie. So if your chakras are open, know that you are the chosen. 144,000 around the spell has been broken.
Shot blast. Are you prepared to stand up for the liberation of your people?
I am.
Are you willing to fight against the wickedness and evil of this present-day system?
I am.
Wait a minute, Shout Bless. We saved your people. We brought you over here from Africa. We gave you a new name, a new culture, a new language, a new religion, a new God. So what do you say to that?
Fuck you.
So power be in my people against the forces of evil. Got you looking for paradise through eyes of the needle. So as you look for Houdini, I study Kundalini. Rising up through my vertebrae till I see the genie.
I know you like that. Yeah, we like that. Ready to fight back. Ready to fight back. But they don't like that. No, they don't like that. So power be in my people and power strike back.
We lost the confusion, believe in the illusion, so no revolution could take place till you erase the false face that you embrace. Carrying loads of dead weight, we displace all over this earth curse with hate. Still bowing down to masters who burn and castrate. We so divine, spiritual slaves, deaf and blind, but intertwined can recognize your black signs. You think not, so we rock braids and twist knots. That's not ether, galaxy rays and equinox. The soul seeker, astro signs, we leave the clock, the age. Jump for worry, the boat shifts and rise.
So you like that? Yeah, we like that. Ready to fight back? Ready to fight back. But they don't like that?
No, they don't like that.
The power be in my people and power strike back. Yeah,
so you like that? Brothers and sisters, like
ready to
it
fight
is definitely
back.
The time
fight
you will recognize like what
that.
Stage
no,
we're
in. Like that.
We are definitely in the last days.
Yeah.
They're plotting against us, they're trying to take us down. But you must realize if you tap into your energies that they tried to keep you from, the ancestors, they have the plan. I'm calling on the ancestors. The ancestors.
people and pie strike back.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com, blacktalkradionetwork.com, and we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Also on Mondays, Acres of Diamonds from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Also right after Acres of Diamonds on Monday, Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. On Tuesdays, Dr. William Rogers, Black Reality Think Tank, 8 p.m. to 10. And then on Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC, from 8 p.m. to 10. Thursdays, Us Lifting Us, ULU, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa, or Family-Centered Economics, as we like to say, from 9 p.m. to 10. On Fridays, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, It's Time for an Awakening. And then on Saturdays, Saturday Sports Talk with 12, from 10 to 12 with Troy Wilmore. And then Sundays, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's Sister POC with Revive. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m. until, once again on Sunday, it is Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. It's time for an awakening. The number to call here is 215-490-9832. Brother Frank. Woo! That Brother Jay, man.
Yes. Hey, before we go on to the next topic, I wanted to say something about what Jay said. I wanted to just say something for the audience at this point. You know what Jay called him and he talked about? What was said about Shaka Zulu. I want the listeners who hear that to be careful when sharing information like that, because you become a part unknowingly of the problem when you say, "Here's something I heard about Shaka Zulu," because now you're spreading that propaganda and more people are hearing it, even though he's attempting to defend it as untrue.
Right, right.
The problem, I've heard so much of that kind of stuff about black leaders, mm-hmm. but for years, when I hear it, I don't repeat it, I don't share it like that. The way I share it is this. I would say there are people out there who are spreading these unfounded things about our leader, calling him gay or whatever. Don't fall into that because, you know, it was unfounded. But when you continue saying the person's name instead of calling him gay, now you're putting that same narrative in the universe, and you'll realize you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
So I've heard some of the same stuff about lots of great black men. And what I say is there are narratives going around about black leaders, some calling them gay. And I would tell people, dismiss those narratives, these narratives, because they're unfounded. But I'm careful not to say the names connected to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a disservice to those people right now. If I was to share the names I've heard about, you know, some great black leaders.
Right.
So I'm very careful of how you share information. Because sometimes you share information that's doing harm to the person's legacy.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, no, I hear clearly what you're saying, brother.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, there's some stuff that I've seen on internet that I just passed by. I would not forward that stuff. I would not share it. I don't even put a like or dislike. I just pass that by.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of stuff on Facebook, on the internet, some emails you may get, you know, that don't deserve your attention. Or don't deserve to be out there into that atmosphere to put, you know, because there's a lot of gullible people. Let's be real.
And there's an attempt to diffuse our Afrocentric views. So there are people who try to defame those people that we in the Afrocentric community that we adhere to, that we admire. And they put out misinformation, disinformation, mm-hmm. false information about these people. And we'll realize that there was this attack on the Afrocentric, the black liberation ideology. And there are these people, their job, okay, in the U.S. government, they have these, they call it dissent.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. government feel it is irresponsible of the U.S. government not to monitor black dissent. So there are these systems in place that are used to call diffuse black dissent. And they do all sort of things like that to diffuse black dissent, marginalizing our heroes, putting out misinformation about our heroes,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So just be very careful. So when I be seeing these stuff, but unfortunately, like you say, most people are gullible, and they don't realize they'll run around saying things about black people, saying this, and they're not realizing, hey, hold up now. Be careful, mm-hmm. because you're spreading information that can be used to hurt the bigger picture.
Right.
You know?
It's just like the government's COINTELPRO, but any other government programs to undermine and to discredit and to sow the seeds of division. Now this is the the black radical extremism bull. Yeah. You know, all of this stuff. It's all the same thing in terms of of trying to discredit and undermine the legitimate will and aspirations of our people to be self-determining, to be independent and liberated, and to be sovereign, the bottom line.
And I love what you were saying. I understand where you were coming from earlier when you were talking in terms of you were making sure to explain that you were not hating against the gay community. And I saw what you were doing. You would say that's your business, your life, but you were looking at the bigger picture about as black people, let's put liberation first.
Yes.
I understand that entirely.
Yes. Appreciate that, because yes. That has been my point and will continue to be my point. Like I said, I know people who are homosexual. And there are some family members, but I also know some people who I've talked to are homosexuals who have a good perspective, who have an African perspective or an African
Steve,
perspective.
Steve Baldwin.
James Baldwin. James Baldwin was homosexual. Bayard Rustin was homosexual. You know?
Who?
Bayard Rustin. Bayard Rustin was the one who was advising Dr. King.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But he was also communist, too. See, he was communist. And, in fact, the real thing about his relationship with Dr. King that really didn't want to get out was the communist piece, because they didn't want – but that happened anyways. And, of course, this government associated Dr. King with communism, you know.
Yes.
See. So, J. Edgar Hoover and so forth. But, you know, to me, you know, the bottom line to our struggle to liberate ourselves – to free ourselves from this mental captivity we have, is that is the direction. There is no sexual orientation in that. Now, granted, the African-centered movement supports and promotes African men and African women coming together to produce family. We need that. Now, if that is not you, but you still want to make sure that the dream of African people is realized, you can participate in that, but you keep that in your back pocket, your sexual orientation. That is nothing to be, and I don't want that to be promoted or proselytized or any of that. It's the same as when Malik Shabazz said, he said, my religious philosophy is Islam.
Yes.
But when I come out here to deal with what we are dealing with, and that, of course, is this cracker who has done to us what he's done to us and what he's continued to do to us, I'm not trying to promote Islam, because maybe you're a Christian, and right now that we're gonna have some issues, so we won't be able to deal with the real problem. So you keep your Christianity at home or in your back pocket. I'll keep my Islam at home or in my back pocket. We ain't proselytizing none of that, but what we are proselytizing is the freedom and self-determination and liberation and
that's
sovereignty for African people, period.
That is a great example. That's the best idea I've ever heard on how to deal with this.
Yes.
When we look at those, when they do it at home, we heterosexual do it at home. When we come together, let's put our, just how you say, you put our religion behind us and put the blacks in front of us.
Yes,
we put our sexual orientation behind us and put the blackness in front of us.
That's right.
And yes, I totally agree.
And let's move forward.
Because you know, when we engage in attacking those from that community, the oppressors use that to create more division among us. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly, brother. Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm going to get off into this article, and after it's a, you know, it's the Arrow, and for those my brothers and sisters who are listeners, know that I always use the Arrow. I haven't used the Final Call too much recently, but the Arrow and other publications and of course the online publications, Atlanta Black Star. I always suggest you go to AtlantaBlackStar.com for outstanding narratives and video streams. The Root, not so much. I'm crazy about The Root. I like Black Agenda Report. You know, Black Agenda Report is a real left perspective, but The Arrow is more African centered, and I love The Arrow. This is the newspaper for the Institute of the New World, and from the Organization of African Unity out of San Antonio, Texas, and. The front page is reserved for Baba Phil Johnson, who is the creator of the Institute of the New World out of San Antonio. He has been an ancestor now almost going on, well over 2 years, might be going 3 years. But I had the opportunity to to meet him and his group at a conference in Houston, Texas. And if it hadn't been for him bringing the amount of people that he brought to that conference, it would have been a flop, but it was a pleasure. And to see, he brought a lot of young people. And then last year at Abakasim Tsum Tsum, I didn't announce Abakasim Tsum Tsum. Abakasim Tsum Tsum means African spiritual warfare, raising up the spirit of Dr. John Henry Clark. Abakasim Tsum Tsum, you'll hear more about it, is Saturday, May 12th, here in Lithia Springs, Georgia, which is not too far from Atlanta, at the Sweetwater State Park. Lithia Springs, Georgia, Saturday, May 12th, and you'll hear more about it. This theme this year is Building Columbos, From War Camp to African Sovereignty. And, of course, if you don't know what a Columbo is, that is a where you get away from the oppressor, get away from the enslaver and so forth, and establish your own community. And one of the best movies about that is Columbo, about Brazil against the Portuguese with Zimbi or Pelmires. And go get that movie. But I'll be announcing that consistently and hopefully have Mama Marimba on the program to talk about that. So this is the title of this narrative for this month's arrow is Progress in Captivity. Of course, you know, I don't use the word slavery, we weren't slaves, but we were captives. So progress in captivity, but not toward freedom. Many African people, in spite of the hardships experienced, feel that we have made great progress towards freedom. Pointing to the African doctors, lawyers, engineers, scientists, business people, and politicians, we proclaim with pride, look at our professional people. They live very well and make good money. If this ain't progress, what is? Some of our people who have left our side of town and went way over the other side of town and are held up as good examples of our progress toward freedom. Majority African institutions with a majority Caucasian staff or a majority Caucasian institution with a few of our people are pointed to as indicators of progress toward freedom. Let's not leave out the impact integration of the public sector, i.e. restaurants, theaters, transportation, and housing, has had on our minds. This progress towards freedom is supported and reinforced. This is where my main man, Brother Frank Jones, comes in. This progress towards freedom is supported and reinforced by newspapers, magazines, TV, radio, government programs, elected officials. This information blitz carries the news of progress. It's designed to make us feel like we're in or we can get in. And if we go along to get along, we can be in the end if we go along to get along. Has a passive, deeply loyal African middle class with its high wages and its symbol of white Eurocentric is showcased as the ultimate sign of progress towards freedom. However, material rewards, marginal acceptance, lofty titles, and economic dependence only serve to encourage a few Africans to assist in the continual enslavement of our people. These are oppressive tactics, not authentic moves toward freedom. If we are to move toward freedom, reclaiming our humanity must be at the top of the list. No one can give us freedom. We must take on higher standards and sound principles. We must work with ourselves and our people until we are transformed from being a captive to being human. We must love our people, our God, ourselves. I repeat, we must love our people, our God, and ourselves. We can't proclaim love for anyone else's God, culture, and racial image and not love ourselves and be free, self-respecting, independent people. We can't deny our Africanness but be culturally, politically, and spiritually self-determined. As a strong, God-loving Africans, we must speak truth and do justice, even if it hurts. We must have compassion for those in our culture who suffered so greatly for a few of us to share crumbs thrown from us from the excessive tables of the so-called master. But if we feel that the highest good is good feeling rather than doing good, our humanity is diminished. And we will sell out to the highest bidder and continue to progress in captivity rather than in true freedom. In claiming our freedom, we must seek and act on truth. While it is true we are physical and have need of the physical to sustain ourselves, it is also true to live solely and excessively in the physical is being only part of what we can be. If we are to be truly humanly free, we must seek the higher truth, which is our spiritual power. Let me repeat that. If we are to be humanly free, we must seek the higher truth, which is our spiritual power. No matter how many creature comforts we get, no matter how much money we are afforded, no matter how sophisticated the manipulation, if rooted in our spiritual power, we will prevail. When we are in our culture and spiritual centers, revering the Creator and our ancestors, we can ride out the storm of fear, greed, and ignorance, no matter how severe. I repeat again. When we are in our cultural and spiritual centers, revering the Creator and our ancestors, we can ride out the storm of fear, greed, and ignorance, no matter how severe. Under our spiritual discipline, we can forego the immediate need for pleasure and go for the greater long-term goal of freedom. Being human, like being free, is not going to be easy. It will be a daily struggle if we're going to be more than a few things to comfort us in our captivity. Sometimes up and sometimes down. We must keep struggling to be the best humans we can be. We are running from church to church, from job to job, from club to club, and from relationship to relationship because we are not willing to forego feeling good for doing good. We want everything easy and without pain. But not realizing the pain inherent in seeking pleasure, we sacrifice ourselves on the altar of easy remedies, drugs, quick money, and religion. Instead of challenging ourselves to seek self-determination, community control, and unity, which are sure steps toward freedom, we allow ourselves to be pacified and controlled by promises of government handouts, multicultural education, charter schools, employment, housing, rewards in heaven, and better race relationships that keeps us non-threatening, useful, and happy-go-lucky servants. So what are we talking about when we say we have progressed? That we want more things, more lofty titles, marginal acceptance, and economic dependency to feel comfortable in our enslavement? If all we want are things, then it has happened for us and only for a few of us. The rest of us keep looking at the few, believing that it is progress for the many, and then our turn is coming. This is an illusion. Yet we make decisions about our lives and the lives of our children based upon these illusions, based upon these fairy tales. When we measure our progress toward freedom, it should show us sharing state power. We should clearly have some control over the life-giving and life-sustaining resources that affect us daily. We should have community control in the areas where we are a majority of people. We should have the right to self-determination. All of the African men and women who attempt to uplift us should be respected and protected and not be brought down like Malcolm, Martin, Medgar Evers, Fred Hampton, Garvey, Kwame Nkrumah, Stephen Biko, Huey P. Newton, and the list goes on. We should have no fear or reservations about collectively laying down a plan to help guide us to an African-centered reality, selecting our own leaders, controlling the businesses and the schools in our community, and speaking out about the pain of being African in a European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege global system. So what is it going to be? Do we want freedom? Then we must accept the responsibility that goes with it, like starting with what we have and giving all of our body, mind, and spirit to build for ourselves and our kind. Or do we want to continue to chase the illusions that result in a few more gifts to decorate our slave quarters of a few, while the masses are herded into ghettos, drugged, humiliated, exploited, diseased, and genocide, and of course, massively incarcerated? These two questions must be answered by the people everywhere. For wherever African people are, We are enslaved by the European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege global system. Wherever we are contained in a system of captivity, of colonization, of neocolonialism, of apartheid and integration, and calling it progress towards freedom. Until we control our land, our wealth, our people, we may have progress. We may have progress in our enslavement, but we will never have progress toward freedom. We must ponder these two questions. Let's be sure we take our time, because our lives and the lives of our future generations depend on what we decide to do today. Baba Phil Johnson. I know he's a byline of his, but that is the Institute of the African World. What do you think, Brother Frank?
Powerful, powerful. And it's the core of the, of what we need to address. We definitely need to address what they're doing to our minds. This elaborate perception management system that they have to control us, you know? Mm-hmm. And when you look back, you can see the logic of what they're doing. I mean, naturally, there is an immense fear that exists among those white nations who have brutalized and exploited Africans for 400 years, continue to do so today. So they don't want us thinking on our own. So that's why they're always programming us. That's why they control our education. That's why they control our media. They control everything we read. They control our minds. They don't want us thinking for ourselves. And they create many distractions. They create, I've heard these racist white people say, why are you black guys complaining? You got a basketball player who makes $20 million a year. And they think that's a defense. The same, that image of these few who make some money, and we think that represents our entire state, you know?
Sure, sure. Because, yeah. But see, the idea, though, Frank, is that, see, it's because we promote individualism. See, I hold up this person who's making this money and lives here and does this, that, and that. You, yeah, too, can be him or her, you see.
Yeah.
See, and those of us not understanding the dynamics and the insidiousness of this system believe too, yeah, you know what? I too can be that. I too. It's just like the huge income disparity in this country between those who have and those who have not. But they don't, the have nots, particularly the Caucasians, particularly them, they don't want redistribution of wealth, because contained in individualism is the belief that you too can be a multi-millionaire, a multi-billionaire, you see. And so therefore, no, I don't want wealth. I don't want equality. I want the opportunity to have the riches and be the big controller of all of this stuff too. You know, not understanding that they will never be there. We got a caller. Let's take this caller. 602. Caller 602.
Yes, Brother Oshie. I'm Brother Frank. Good morning. It's Brother Marcus from Memphis.
How you doing, Brother Marcus, today? How you doing?
I'm doing all right, good brothers.
Good.
You know, you were saying, you know, from the program Monday, you know, unless we address the psychological damage that was done to our people, it's going to be hard to move ahead. But we don't need everybody.
That's right.
That's the thing. We only need a few, a subgroup. You could have 100 people could do the job. I'm telling you, because we have... You could see from the in Washington, D.C., is less than 600 people run this whole thing, you know. Less than 600 people run the entire United States. So,
right.
So 100 conscious black people organized economically, psychologically, could do the job. We don't need everybody, because everybody comes with all kinds of mental problems. You see, mm-hmm. You know, we have mm-hmm. all kinds of psychological problems. But Africa is the prize, as you say. It's not here. If all else dies and Africa lives, we win.
Right. See?
So sometimes we focus too much. A lot of these people here, these rotten Negroes, we're going to have to leave them here.
That's right.
Because
yeah.
if you take them to Africa, we're going to have to kill them, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
And we're going to have to
leave them.
Yeah, because.
Yeah.
Because.
Okay. You don't need them. We don't need them on the continent.
Yeah.
We just need a few good men and women. See?
That's right.
And in spite of what's happening, we are moving ahead. You know, it may not look it may not look like we're moving ahead, but we're slowly making progress. And I tell you, with programs like this, and you know, this program gives me some sanity. I tell you the truth.
Thank you, Marcus. Ocean, thank you, Brother Marcus. Appreciate
I'm
that.
I'm telling you this because this is a nut house. It is.
Yeah, we is. We live in an asylum. We live in an asylum. Yeah.
Yes, asylum. I tell you sometimes too. Sometimes it's not even good to be too conscious because you see stuff. You see it right in front of you, and it really affects your mind. You know, sometimes I get so depressed, you know, but you know what I do? I go listen to a program like this. I go and it boosts my, you know, my mentality, you know, my mind, you know, because
I agree.
It's designed to drive you crazy.
Yeah. I say.
You know, and I've seen so much of my friends go crazy, go nuts, men, women, you know, good people.
Yeah.
But they go crazy because they don't realize what the hell is going on. But anyway, brother, you keep on. I'm going to keep listening. Because
thank you. I appreciate
I'm
that.
I'm sick of this place. I am too.
I am too, dear brother.
My bags are packed. I'm ready to go.
I hear you, my brother. Okay.
Take care, good brothers. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Marcus. Hey, appreciate it.
Brother O'Shea, please just said you confirm what I said to you earlier about your show. I said there are lots of people, you know, your mind is always under attack. And when people hit your show, is, you know, it helps a lot of people. It helps a lot of people against that attack on their mind. You know, you quantify what they believe that something's going on. And when on your show, when you explain it, it's really helpful. And like he was saying, a lot of brothers who feel like suicidal, feel all these things. And it's good to have a place where you can call in and someone who can identify what's being done, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what I love about the show. I love what you're doing.
I appreciate that. And I appreciate you being on with me on every Wednesday, Brother Frank, because that's what this program is. That's my contribution to our struggle to free our minds, is to have a vehicle like this and where people can call in and express themselves, and listeners can listen and hopefully gain some insight and some knowledge to just, you know, to purge themselves. And I always like to use the analogy. I've always said that, you know, the European has a vice grip on our minds. And when you understand that tool, once the vice grip is set, you just can't pull it apart. You know, and that's the, you know, that's the, in fact, the Caucasian thinks the vice grip is set and there's nothing that we can do. Our minds are trapped. He has control of our minds. But I maintain there's a knob at the end of the handle of the vice grip. And turning that knob is symbolic of acquiring knowledge of self. And once you continue to turn that knob, because you've been infused with the knowledge of yourself, the confidence in who you are, once you continue to turn that knob, you release that tension and bam, you can open the vice grip. And then you can finally see the Caucasian for who and what they are. But not that you challenge them, because that's fruitless. That you know, there is no challenging them. To hell with them. But that you begin to challenge yourself and challenge each other to help us understand that all of us needs to release that vice grip so we can come into the reality of self and begin to love one another, respect one another, to work with one another, to pull our resources together, to build with one another. See, I always say that individualism is a European Caucasian desire. They love individualism, that rugged individualism, manifest destiny. I think, therefore, I am, you know, king of the hill and so forth. That's their thing. Top. We got to be on top, you know. But our thing is always being holistic, always being collective. The great civilizations of Africa were great because of a collective grouping of our people coming together to build for self. All those great civilizations, it wasn't because of one individual. Yes, we know about Mansa Musa and the Mali Empire and so forth, what he was able to do. And in fact, he was a caravan going across northern Africa, almost disrupting people's economy because he had so much gold. He is allegedly to be the richest person in the history of the planet. I'm not going to debate that. I don't care. But the bottom line is, I'm talking about African sovereignty. African sovereignty. And we must understand what that is. You know, African independence, African self-determination, African liberation, deciding for ourselves our direction. But more importantly, what I've tried to do, Brother Frank, is help our people understand it can't happen here. It will never happen here. It's a waste of time. And our people are constantly trying to beg this cracker to respect us and to respect our humanity. And you can see everywhere the cracker is, that ain't happening. But they'll come together when any of them are being threatened. The Caucasian South Africa, because they're talking about taking their land and not compensating them because their land has been taken, which of course is correct because it's stolen land. They didn't compensate us when they came and took it.
Yeah, true.
And so now Australia says, well, we will give them a special immigration status because their land is being taken and they're not going to be compensated for it. And many of them are saying that they're in danger, that they're being threatened, they're in danger. And then now you have the United States, you have the European Union, with, of course, the UK included into the European, although they supposed to have broke away. But, you know, when there's a threat, they'll come together. I don't give a damn what they say, you know, because history proves that. And then, of course, Australia is saying we're going to impose deep sanctions, embargoes on South Africa. Let me say this, brothers and sisters. Let me say this. When Africans finally come to the reality that we don't need crackers at all. We have all that we need. The only problem that we have is that we don't have our minds. Once we purge this cracker from our minds and begin to respect ourselves and each other and believe in one another, we have all the resources we need. We have everything that we need to do to build a just and right an honorable society with respect for individuals, respect for family, respect for elders, reverence for ancestors, and truly respect for children. Respect for children. We have all we need. At this time, what you see going on in Africa is a direct result of a lot of the divisions we've had. Let me be real, Brother Frank. A lot of it is prior to colonialism. Prior to Caucasians, it's tribalism, mysticism. Yeah. I respect your tribe, but I want your tribe to understand there's nothing more important than us being Africans and us being collective. You can keep your tribal customs and so forth, but if it interferes with us coming together and being self-determined and independent, you must rethink it. That's where we have to go. Because if we're going to be players in the world instead of the pawns that we are, this is the attitude and mentality we must embrace and we must accept and expand upon. This is where we're at, because either we do this or we're going to die. Bobby Wright said it best. Considering all these things that these Caucasians are talking about and what they're doing, and when he wrote The Psychopathic Racial Personality was in the late 70s. AIDS wasn't even happening at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And if Bobby Wright and Dr. King and all our great scholars and historians and people who wanted to move us forward could see us today at this juncture, you think that they would be hailing what that article I just read, hailing the few of us who have wealth, the few of us who live in little nice communities and so forth? Do you think they would be promoting them? Hell no. They would be promoting what's happening to the masses of our people. The mass incarceration, the drug addiction, the miseducation and the unemployment and underemployment. This is what they would be talking about. And I'm sorry, Frank. Sometimes I just go off, brother.
Don't feel it. No, let it go. Let it go. You know, let it out.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to. Yeah, let it out.
Well, you know what it is, Brother Frank. I would say this. I don't hate anybody. I don't. I love all humanity. But let me tell you what I do hate. I hate the fact that Europeans, Caucasians, created a system that they've imposed upon the world that made us act and behave the way that we do. I hate their system. I hate what they have done to us, and I hate what they continue to do to us. Oh, we have another caller. Good afternoon, caller, 447.
Good afternoon, Brother Ochi.
Ah, Paul. What is up?
Brother Franklin. Hey, good afternoon to Brother Elliot. I know he'd be listening. And to all the staff at the Time for Awakening Media, to all the fantastic work you do, just appraisals and the most respect goes out to you all.
Thank you, Brother Paul. Bless you too, dear brother.
Sir, a thought came to me, and I'm going to ask you, I'm going to request quite diligently and with the most respect if I can give a little bit of information out, because I think it's proper to do this, what I'm about to do.
Please do. Please do.
Okay. Well, next week we are being told that the Prime Minister of Jamaica, His Honourable Andrew Holness, is coming to visit the UK. And some of us have got together with some questions that we need to put on his desk or put in front of him. Now, we know the 2 hours which he's going to meet members of the public is not going to be enough to address him. So what we intend to do is put together a formal document and put to his office. Yeah. Now, what I'm asking and putting in front of yourself, I don't think you necessarily have to come from Jamaica or the Caribbean or be of that region, because I think we're all Africans on this planet. But we're going to take this opportunity to address him. And if your listeners want to put questions to him via my email or an email which is connected to me, I'm opening it up for the family.
Oh, okay. That sounds great. That sounds great.
Well, I'm going to give you an email address.
Okay.
You or anybody can put those. So on that particular day, we're going to put some questions to him. And obviously, we're not going to be able to put all the questions to him, but we're going to follow it up. And we're going to follow that department until we get answers. So the email address I'm going to give you is connectthedotsglobal.
Connect?
That's CONNECT, the THE, dot DOTS, global, GLOBAL, at gmail.com. So that's connectthedotsglobal@gmail.com. So you can just pose your questions and send it to that email address. And we're going to put it together in a document, and we're going to put before Andrew Holness, and we're going to follow it up.
Okay.
Hold on, Brother Paul. Brother Paul, repeat it. That's connect, CONNECTTHEDOTS dot GLOBAL at gmail.com.
Yes, connect the dots global.
Oh, there is no dot after dots, right?
It's actually D spelled, not dots in actual, it's DOTS, connect the dots global at gmail.com.
Okay.
Okay, got you.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. No... sorry to interrupt your flow.
No, man, that's okay. It's always. I'm sorry, Brother Frank. Go ahead.
I appreciate fantastic show. Great work, and you know, your brothers are just so on point. Absolutely on point. It just occurred to me. I thought to myself, well, you know, we need to start speaking to these wherever they are and tell them our concerns and what we think and what we think needs to change. We need to take control of our own sources, you know. So,
agreed.
Just on that point, anywhere we are on the planet, it must be the same. You know,
exactly.
I'm not into the division thing. I'm not into the divide and conquer thing.
Exactly.
We need to come together.
Agreed. Totally, 100%. Agree with you 100%. We want people.
And see, exactly. I think as I continue to promote that idea as Africans, as being one people, and we could speak with that voice, I recognize, and I was talking to a brother, and he's going to be on my program on Friday, a brother, Jerry Jones. He lives in Ghana now, you know, and of course he tries to deal with the multiple linguistic, cultural people that we are. But the reality is, I know that it's hard for those of us to say, hey, you know, we're all Africans. Because what happens a lot of times is that they're looking at what is in the best interest of Ashanti, what is in the best interest of God, what is in the best interest of Shoah, you know, your group. and really what's in the best interest of your group is for us to be united as one, so in that way we can share the bounty based upon our collectivism. You know, I think one of the problems that we have had as a people and one of the ways that they could always divide and conquer us was through our different so-called tribes and mysticism and all the other bull that has affected. I'm not saying that's bull, because, I mean, I respect your traditions and your customs and so forth, but one thing that we must clearly understand, if we are to be a free and self-determining people and a player in the world, then we must come together as one. This is what Kwame Nkrumah was talking about. This is what Patrice Lumumba was talking about. This is what the Honorable Sheikh Anta Diop was talking about. Even Idi Amin Dada talked about. Muammar Gaddafi talked about. We must be one. And then Malcolm said, Malik Shabazz said, Africans globally will never be respected until Africa is in control by Africans, until Africa is in control by Africans. And you know, at this moment in time, it's still not in control by Africans. It's still in control by the West. They have placed there all these neo-colonials, all these despots, all these individuals who are going after graft and corruption. So we have a lot of work to do. And I like that. And I will make mention, when is the Jamaican Prime Minister coming to the UK?
Well, it's set up for the 10th. Not the 10th. I think, if I remember right, it's about the 20th of April.
Oh, okay. April 20th.
Yeah.
Oh, that's next week.
Next week. So, and you're right. And you're right in what you say, Brother OG. I mean, I'm also involved in a group, a Nigerian group, an Igbo group. It's a political group, which is in Nigeria. And it's not very, I've never really heard this spoke about in America as such, to be honest with you, on none of the platforms. But it's something which we do need to really start talking about, because it's very serious. Mm-hmm. And it's the self-determination of the Igbo people in determining Biafra and the breakup of Nigeria, which is a serious situation down there in Nigeria, which is not really being talked about.
Mm-hmm.
With a lot of infighting between the Hausas, Fulani, and the Igbo people, even resulting in herdsmen killing off other Africans in mass numbers. You know, this is going on. I speak to these people on a daily basis, and it's serious.
It's sad. It is pathetically sad.
So when you talk about the tribalism, you're absolutely right. And that's why when we talk about Marcus Garvey and Pan-Africanism which came before and followed suit, they talk about united people coming together. And it's absolutely paramount in this time we find ourselves in. This infighting, this tribalistic fight cannot is not a recipe for overcoming your adversaries.
Mm-hmm. And see, one of the things is that when you're so steeped into your thing, you can't see the bigger picture. You know, you can't see how even though I don't want to be taken over by anybody, but I sure don't want to have the crack of down on my neck. I'd rather struggle being an Igbo with a Hausa working together to find ways we both can benefit, as opposed to undermining one or the other, while the Caucasian continues to reap the benefit. Playing one against the other and laughing as we continue to destroy each other while they reap, take off with the mineral wealth. It's just like when Dr. Bobby Wright said, I don't know if you heard that part, Brother Frank, he said,
yes.
You know, they got us fighting over deck chairs on the Titanic. They got us fighting each other over the deck chairs on the Titanic while they jumped into lifeboats, you know, and sailed on, knowing that this thing is going down, you see. And so we don't understand the dynamics that are being played globally and why we need to end this madness and come together. See?
Can I just say this?
Sure, go ahead. Sure, Brother Paul.
You connecting with Brother Frank on this platform has really prepared the way for, I mean, Brother Frank's work, I think, is not acknowledged the way it should be.
I agree.
It's up there with Neely Fuller. It's up there with Dr. Francis Crosswellson. And it's up there because, and it's pinnacle. Trust me, because what he reveals is how this game is being played out in the mind. And I would love him to speak in the UK. I would love him to, via this platform, make it known via what he's attempted to show the world, because it's important. And I think,
Brother Paul, I'm gonna email you and we're gonna work on that. We're gonna work on that happening. At the same email, and we're gonna correspond.
Because Brother Ochi's given this thing, even before you connected, I think the ancestors are working overtime, because even before this connection, I've been watching your work, and I'm just wondering why you aren't, out there in a bigger thing. Because you're right on point. Absolutely. It's the mind. They've got the people's minds. And, once they've got your mind, then they've got everything.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
This is what it is.
That's right.
So I'm totally behind you and Brother. What you're doing is absolutely on point. Absolutely.
Thank you, Brother Paul.
And I'll tell you, Brother Paul, I appreciate what you're doing, and I understand you are in the real belly of the beast, because it is from there that European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege even though America is the military arm of it, but it
Sorry,
is...
Brother Ochi,
yes.
I just have to correct you slightly, if you don't mind. I do it with the most humblest of respect. We are in the brain of the beast.
Oh,
we are in the
brain. I love Paul, man. Well, I love you, Paul, because, because of you, I don't even use the word supremacy no more. I appreciate that. But now I like that, too. You are in the brain of it, because you are correct.
Brother Franklin has absolutely illustrated that. And when we talk about the Tavistock Institute, he exemplifies where the problem is coming from. He knows, and people need to listen. The problem doesn't come from, the control mechanisms are here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is the brain. This is where all the ideas come from. And it's sent around the world. Australia.
Right.
Canada.
Yeah.
America.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And we gotta really overstand that.
Outstanding. Yeah. Outstanding, my brother. Well, listen.
Brother, thank you, Brother Paul. And we're gonna
keep up the good work.
We can talk again. Because I will come down there.
So yes. For you brothers and sisters who are listening, and for, of course, Brother Paul and Brother Frank, connect the dots. The Jamaican Prime Minister is going to England on the 20th, and we need to have questions. We need to have statements that he needs to be aware of in terms of our feelings globally. And so connect the dots, CONNECT, the THE dots, DOST, global, @gmail.com. There is no dot after dots, is it? It's just one straight word.
D-O-T-S.
Right. DOTS global @gmail.com. So, brothers and sisters, please send your questions in. And I look forward to, after it's over, what was said and what was done, Brother Paul. So come back on and give us a report on the goings on and what's happening and what had happened there with the Jamaican Prime Minister. I know that Brother Marcus, in fact, he just got off the line. I know he's listening. And of course, Brother Marcus is from Jamaica. So I'm hoping, Brother Marcus, you've heard that email address and that you would send some information. I know Brother Paul Brother Jay is listening. So, and Brother Joe in Philly, and definitely Brother Ralph in Philly, and all the other brothers and sisters across this country who are listening, please. We need this kind of concerted effort in all the things that we do to help change the dynamics that are going on in our lives and in our community. Brother Frank, you got any closing remarks?
I just want to say it was beautiful. I enjoyed talking to you. And Brother Paul, I appreciate your words from over across the pond. And I look forward to seeing you this year. That's it.
All right, Brother Paul, you got any closing remarks?
Yes. Your brothers are doing an outstanding outstanding job, and I don't even think you realize how outstanding the work you're doing. You know, I'd thank Brother Elliot for providing this platform.
I do too.
And the other brothers, and it, you know, you just keep up the good work. Trust me, we're gonna win this thing.
That's right, my brother. Appreciate you, Paul. We end this program like we end all our programs with the words of Stephen Biko: the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. And this program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. Not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E. Because under the feet of African people has all the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, we should be in control of that. Shemhotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. Peace.